The views reflected on this show are not necessarily the views of ESPN 1000.
You mean to tell me that you went home and swiped a ball that was signed by Babe Ruth, and you brought it out here and actually played with it? Yeah!
Are you one of those people that has to know how much the Babe Ruth ball is actually worth?
I was going to bring it back,
but it was signed by Babe Ruth!
Yeah, you keep telling me that. Who is she?
We'll keep it right here, because today is your lucky day.
The Sultan of Blood!
King of Crap!
The Colossus of Clout!
The Colossus of Clout!
Babe Ruth!
It's time for Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan, sponsored by ERC Delivery and Huggins and Scott Auctions.
The Great Bambino!
Good morning, everybody. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions, and our producer, Erica Strowski. We're on every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Central Time, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. The phone number here is 312-332-3776. Our prize this week to give away one caller, or if you've emailed me a question during the week, or if you brought in an item to me at Triple Crown and I tweet a picture, or if you tweet a picture of an item to my attention, T Crown Tom is my Twitter ID, you get in the drawing for the box of cards this week, a 2016 Panini Unparalleled Football Box is the prize. Now, I don't know if there's a lot of Dak Prescott cards in these, but boy, the first 2 weeks for a fourth round quarterback, I never remember a quarterback that's in that rookie class that was that lower of a pick getting this hot that fast as Dak Prescott
all of a sudden. And he looks fearless. He just looks fearless.
He's
thrown it into a crowd that's perfectly placed. I mean,
you know, it's against vanilla defenses, so you don't know, you know, how that's going to work out for him. But it's
he's got this tapping noise.
I think we have ghosts
here.
or something.
Hopefully, the angels actually.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that. Well, anyway, so Dak Prescott, I was looking at some pricing of his stuff. Listen to what it's done. His first game was like 8 days ago, and his first game was pretty good. I mean, he looked very impressive. Second game, I think, let's see, that would have been Friday. So that was the 19th, and he had two passing touchdowns, two rushing touchdowns. I mean, you couldn't have played any better than he's played so far. I think statistically, let's see, so far he's 22 out of 27 with four TDs, no interceptions. He's playing great.
Yep,
five carries for 41 yards. So I looked on eBay out of that Panini certified football on August 5th. He had an autograph numbered 1 of 5, sold for $215.
Wow.
Okay, which was... Now that was probably before he had played a game, but he had been in training camp. Now, on yesterday, he had a certified autographed patch numbered 9 of 10. So it's numbered to 10 instead of 5. The first one went for 215 to 5. This went for 550, numbered to 10.
Very nice.
That's how high his stuff got.
Very nice.
And Romo, who comes into T-Crown regularly, a regular T-Crown customer, loves the Cowboys, and he was going after Dak Prescott stuff yesterday.
Yep.
So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, Tony Romo, the real Romo, is still the starting quarterback.
But he gets injured a lot.
He does get injured a lot.
The story of the season.
Yeah,
Prescott
can
get the starting nod.
Be interesting to see where he goes in fantasy drafts, where Romo goes and where Prescott goes and whatever.
We'll find out in the next weekend where Romo takes Prescott. You know, maybe he'll take him in the third round or something.
He might. You never know. That's great. Next Sunday night is our fantasy draft. Now, our show's on 8 to 9 every Sunday morning, but starting September 11th, when Fantasy Football Show with Jeff Meller comes back on the air, they'll be on 8 to 9, and we're moving back to 7 to 8 at that time. And we've got, Bill, you're in fantasy too, aren't you? Fantasy football leagues, you and Josh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have one that just about everybody at our office plays.
Yeah, that when it's an office one, that must get some pretty good pretty good discussions and side bets and stuff going.
Yeah, yeah, back talk definitely is prevalent.
Do you guys do a snake draft, or do you do it a more appropriate auction, you know?
No, we do a snake draft.
You know, okay. I have never been in an auction draft. Never.
They're a lot of fun. Yeah, they're a lot of fun.
My sons were at our house doing an auction baseball draft last you know, in the spring, so I saw them do that. That's the first one I've even seen done it, and it did look like it'd be fun, actually.
It is.
All right, so the number here is 312-332-3776. We're going to talk about some of the prices on items that that ended in the August Huggins and Scott auction, and we're going to talk about some things that people bring in the T-Crown during the week, and you can call us with a question about your items, and we have a lot of things that are already to talk about. So it's going to be a fast show, so let's get going here. Last, in the Huggins and Scott August auction, I love this 1961 Topps baseball set. The first card I ever remember seeing, it was a few years after that, but I remember seeing our friend that lived next door to my grandma's house had like a whole box full of them, like almost the whole set. And I was like, whoa. And like the first card that I saw, that I remember was a Hank Aaron card from that set. And I was like, wow, that is really neat. And we used to, whenever we went to my grandma's house, we'd always go get nickel packs and open them up and play baseball all day long. So that set, I really like that set. Well, this was a 587 card complete set, all PSA 8 graded. Number 24 on the registry went for $22,000 in the Huggins and Scott auction. So that was really something. And now, the registry, for those of you that aren't familiar with that, when sets are graded now, they rank them based on how high the average grades are, and they weight more towards the key cards, what they're graded. And so number 24 in the registry, that's getting up there. Bill, what would you think the number one 1961 Topps baseball set on the registry, if that went to auction, would you even be able to give an estimate of what that might sell for?
Boy, I mean, hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, really? Isn't that something?
Yeah. And, no, and you'd have to really kind of see. I mean, you could look it up and see how many, what is its average weight? Is it a 9.8 or 9.6? Or, you know.
Yeah, and when you think about it, some of those cards probably don't even have a 10. You know, like in a 1961 set, there's probably some of the cards that there are no PSA 10s, that the highest grades will be 9. And then if there ever was a 10 that came out, all these guys that have the high registry sets would go crazy. Even if it's a common card, would probably go nuts after that card.
They'd be fighting
for that one. They do.
Yeah. Now, I wonder how much a difference that would make. Like, let's say you had an 8 and on a common card, and then it went, and the first 10 comes out there. I wonder, I guess if it could move you up from third to second or first, I wonder if it could even have that much of a difference. But I guess for those guys, they want it no matter what. And then, Vince, you were at Triple Crown when Ray from Hinsdale stopped in, and Ray's not a collector.
Yes, he's not a collector. Yes, he is not a collector.
I mean, I get this fairly often where guys are not collectors and then talk about all the stuff they have.
It was a great time with Ray at your shop.
Ray is a great guy, a listener to the show.
Good guy.
You know, he actually had a really cool item that he showed me a picture of. He had a Masters flag of that he brought in of Arnold Palmer, which is neat. But he had a display, I think it was a big photo of the 10th hole from the Masters, and then he had a Tiger Woods single sign master flag, and then he had another Masters flag with 22 Masters winners that had signed it, including Sam Snead, who I always loved Sam Snead for some reason. I think I liked his hat. Yeah. I don't know. but I think that's a few grand for that baby. You know, when you look, Tiger Master Flags, I think, still go, even as he's down, but I think they still go $1,500 to $2,000. Does that sound right, Bill?
Gosh, you know, people are really not selling a lot of Tiger stuff now.
Right.
I think the price is down, and they may have either paid a lot for it, in which case they're not ready to bail, or they're hoping that he does come back, you know, one last time.
Yeah, right. We had another listener sent an email. He called first and sent an email. This is an interesting story here. This is Jeffrey. He had Tiger Woods license plates, and he took them to a golf tournament at Conway Farms, I think. And Tiger saw him and chuckled and signed him, and he got him PSA DNA. Oh. And what's cool about this, he included a link, and I printed it, to a story in September 2013. The Chicago Tribune did a story about this where they actually have a picture of Jeffrey holding up the Tiger Woods license plates, and they interviewed him for the story, and they interviewed Tiger and mentioned it. And it says, take Jeffrey, and I'm not going to say his last name, a Chicagoan who caught Woods' attention on the 15th hole by holding up his license plates. It reads T-I-G-R-W-D-S. And he had it since 1997. He had the front plate because my sticker goes on the back, he said. And he was wearing a Cubs hat, said Woods laughed when he saw the plate and told him that's pretty cool, and then signed him for him. So now, Bill, that's like I told him, and he doesn't even want to sell them right now. But let's say Tiger comes back and starts winning tournaments again. How much of a boost on an item like that or any of Tiger's stuff do you think it'll be if he does make a comeback? Or what do you think's going to happen if he just says he retires and he says, I just can't play to the level I want to play. What do you think is the difference in the value of his stuff either way, Bill?
Oh, I would say probably 200 to 300% in the two scenarios you just laid out, meaning if he declares he's not coming back, you'll see the stuff kind of trickle down a little bit. Then you may see it spike up again, but then, you know, it's not going to change radically. But if he comes back and starts winning tournaments,
ooh,
the whole Tiger Mania will start.
Yeah,
right back
I think
up.
It really would, especially if he wins a major.
That would be so huge for golf fans, new golf fans. That would be amazing to see. I see it too.
Yeah, the thing is, there's some really good, exciting golfers right now. I don't think the PGA is doing the greatest as far as publicizing these guys, how good some of them are, but none of them are consistently great like Tiger was. I mean, Tiger, if he ends now, I don't know that you can call him the greatest golfer ever.
Yeah.
But
Nicholas
for 10 years, Tiger, for that 10 years, nobody ever had a 10-year run like Tiger had
his
prime.
Today, I think Luke Donald's going to have a special day on the course today. I just feel it. It's in the air, Tom.
Okay. So you have Luke Donald. Who do I even have?
You have Kevin Na.
Oh, yeah. Nah. Is he going to win? Nah.
After double bogeying the 18th hole last night.
But we're both in the running here. We're in the top 10 for this fantasy golf out of 80 people with some pretty good money on the line. So this is big. Come on, go, is he going to win?
Nah.
All right, we have Chris from Hoffman Estates on the line. What do you have there, Chris?
Hey, Tom. Great show, guys.
Thanks.
I have a quick question. And regarding other, the Major League Baseball teams, they sell game used stuff after games and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
My question is, significant games, like let's say Chris Bryant's debut game, Russell's debut, bunch of his debut games, and Chris Bryant historic game or whatever. If you possess a game used baseball from that game, does it have value in the long run?
Does have value. Now, are these ones that you purchased from MLB that they put the MLB hologram in it and it's in their computer system?
Correct.
Yeah,
that's correct. It's in their database. Yes.
Yeah, some of those actually go for some pretty good money. Bill, have you had any game used items, and specifically baseballs that are MLB authenticated from, like he's saying, like the opening game of, let's say, a Chris Bryant, or like let's say you had one from Chris Bryant's 5-hit game or whatever. Have you had stuff like that that's MLB authenticated?
I want to say we have had a few pieces like that. I don't remember what they were. I want to say we had a Bryce Harper baseball from one of his first games, from his, the game he got his first hit in or something like that.
Yeah. And you had a bat from Bryce Harper or something that was early that went for a lot.
Yeah.
That went for some good bucks. But if you enjoy Chris collecting that, I mean, I think it has good potential because in the past it didn't because you couldn't prove that it actually was a ball from a game, even though you might have caught a ball or whatever, a foul ball, you can't prove it. But now that MLB, they'll literally say third inning ground ball to short, and this is the ball or whatever. So I think that helps the value of it, and I think you have some potential there. If you like doing it, I think that's not a bad collection. Do you buy those straight from MLB then, or at the team?
Yes, I buy it from the Cubs, and if the Cubs are on the road, like I got one from Chris Bryant, the first 5-for-5 that he had.
Okay, that's cool.
And it comes with the hologram and everything, but I just wanted to see if it, in the long run, does it have any value, or is it just, you know, it is what it is.
Well, if nothing else, it's neat. And then a lot depends how good of a career Chris Bryant ends up having.
Right.
What can you imagine now if the Cubs win the World Series, how hot Chris Bryant stuff will be? So, you know.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
Now, how many of the baseballs do you have right now, Chris?
Okay, well, right now I have Wilson Contreras' debut baseball that I had gotten signed by him. Ooh. And inscribed with his debut game, the date.
That's good.
I got a hold of Russell's. I got a Russell. I got a Baez that is going to get signed next month, I think, when he comes out with Fanatics. I just want to know if I'm wasting my time doing this, or is it going to... I mean, I'm not going to sell them. I'm going to hold on to them, but if something happens in the future, whatever...
You know, you're definitely not wasting your time. That's some cool stuff. Well, I've really been impressed with Baez. I personally don't remember any young player who's improved so much so quickly as Baez from... when he was swinging blindly from his heels at first to where he is now. He's a great fielder, and he's much more under control at the plate. And we've already gone up to the first break here, and I've barely even gotten warmed up. So the number here is 312-332-3776. We're on till 9, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. Hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan. Sponsored by ERCDelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're on until 9 a.m. Central Time taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. You can give us a call at 312-332-3776 if you have an item that you think might be valuable. If you think it might be worthwhile putting in a Huggins and Scott auction, if you want our opinion on that one, we've got Bill Huggins on with us, so he's the guy to ask, and he might be able to give you an estimate of what it might go for if it is something that would be worthwhile putting in a Huggins and Scott auction. For instance, and now I'm going to get, when I get my time machine working, it's going to 1952. I'm stopping the barge that took all the 1952 Topps boxes and dumped them in the ocean, and I'm getting those 52 top boxes. And then before I come back, I'm stopping at the grocery store and getting some Tip Top bread.
Ah, there you go. Make sure you stop at ERC and pick me up on your way back, okay?
This 1952 Tip Top bread, Mickey Mantle, the label off of this, graded, let's see, 1.5 by PSA, went for $24,250.
Oh, my gosh.
The label off the Tip Top bread. I don't care if the bread's stale. We don't care. Wouldn't that be cool to see? Bill, what do you think an actual full loaf would go from 1952? It would be hard as a rock, but with Mickey Mantle on the outside on the label. Selling loaf of bread for $140,000. Okay, waiting on the line. Go ahead, Bill.
No, that's okay.
Okay. Waiting on the line here, we've got Peace. Pete from the West Loop, thanks for waiting. Pete, what do you have?
Hey, good morning. I've got a Bulls memorabilia piece from 1984-85.
Ooh.
It was a giveaway, and it's a team roster on the bottom in color, and then on the top is the list of the players' names with the space for autographs. It has Jordan with his hair on it and his original Air Jordans, and later that year, Jordan was at Randhurst Mall in Mount Prospect, and my dad took me over. I got Jordan's autograph, and it's got the 23 hidden in the M, and he also signed it number 23.
Oh, that's nice. So that was signed in 1984. If you can send us a picture of that, I'd love to tweet a picture of it, and then, Bill could get a better idea on that. But, Bill, on a cool item of Jordan, is there much of a difference in value from one that was signed in 1984 to one that was signed in 2004 or 2014? Is there quite a bit more value to the early Jordan signatures?
Oh, there is. There really is. I mean, a lot of these athletes, especially the bigger name guys who end up as their career gets longer and they start signing more, their signature changes. It gets more compact because they're just doing it so much more. I mean, Cal Ripken is you get some of the early Ripkins where you get Cal Ripken Jr. Now it's C/R/J/.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So that would be an item.
Those early Jordan signatures can bring 2 to 3 times what one that he signed for Upper Deck last year or 2 years ago.
Wow. That's big. So, Pete, if you ever did want to auction that, you can tell Bill Huggins would be happy to put it in one of the Huggins and Scott auctions.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Let me think about that.
Okay.
Great. Well, thank you very much, guys. Really appreciate it.
Jordan stuff is very hot right now, by the way, too. Not only any Bulls autographs of his and his 80s Bulls cards in high grade have really taken a big jump lately. So it's a good time to sell if you're thinking about it.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
I am.
All right.
Well, thanks, guys.
You can always stop by Triple Crown in Naperville if you have an item you want to send to Huggins, too. I'm there 6 days a week.
All right.
Good very good. Go. Thanks. Now, we've got somebody who on line 3 here who's not a collector. I wonder why he'd be calling. Ray, not a collector, hey? How you doing, Ray?
Good, Tom. This is Ray, the non-collector.
How many times did you say, well, I've got this, but I'm not a collector?
you guys busted my chops enough.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun the other day at Triple Crown.
Hey, first of all, a commercial for your place, for Triple Crown. That's the first time I went there. And for anybody who is a collector, which I am not.
but if you were.
For cards, this place is absolutely incredible. And anyone who is into that.
And you're not.
Place. It's amazing. But I was calling to correct you.
Oh, okay.
On the golf, my golf frame, this stuff.
Yes.
First of all, it is not a photo. It is a signed serigraph by Mark King.
Ooh.
Of 10th hole at Augusta. And this is one of the issues. They give a bunch of these things when they make them to the artist himself that are not for sale.
Ooh.
This is one of those. It's numbered and it's signed by Mark King.
Whoa, wow. That does make a big difference. I mean, not that it was bad before, but that is now it's even better.
And the old Green Masters flag, which I'm not sure you can get anymore, but that is signed by 22 people, including Nicklaus, Watson, Faldo, Sam Snead, as you mentioned, Larry Mize, remember the chip-in?
Oh, yeah.
And a bunch of others, and of course, their flag. So if you are a golf aficionado, this would be the one crown in the jewel for anyone who is collecting anything, of which I'm not.
Now, Ray, you want to give a quick plug to where you got this and the charity that you work for real quick.
Special Olympics.
Okay. Very good.
I've been involved with Special Olympics for 25 years, have been on the board. I'm on the board currently, was chairman for 2 terms, and it's a wonderful, fabulous organization.
Now, if somebody wanted to donate something or be a part of Special Olympics, is there a website they can go to and get the details on that?
Yeah, you can go to a website, Illinois Special Olympics. Just Google that and go to the website, and you'll get all the detail that you need. Plus, you'll get updates all the time about what's happening with Special Olympics in Illinois and so forth. And I think, as we discussed, as I indicated to you, Special Olympics was born in Illinois.
Yeah.
That's where it started.
Yep. All right. Well, thanks, Ray. And, you know, you can keep looking around. You still might have that box with the 52 Tops Mickey Mantle card somewhere.
You had to bring that up, didn't you?
Well, I had to get I had to fire the last shot.
You shot me through the heart on that.
Okay.
If you want me to tell a quick story, I'll tell it.
Okay, go ahead.
I was living at home, and I collected baseball cards.
Oops.
Wait a minute. Let's go back a second. You did collect baseball cards, but you're not a collector.
Right. I did collect baseball cards way back when. And I know with absolute certainty I had two Mickey Mantle rookie cards. I'm an old enough guy to have gotten those when I was a kid. And I had all these cards in a box. And when I got married and left home, I left the box at home. And about a year and a half after, I went back to see if my cards were there. And I asked my mom, I said, gee, have you got my box of baseball cards? And she says, oh, yeah, I found them. So I threw them away. Oh.
Man. Yeah, that's – and, you know, I'm going to disconnect you before I say this, Ray. Thanks for the call. 52 Topps Mickey Mantle cards in a PSA 7 are selling for over $200,000. Ray, I just couldn't do it to Ray and say that while he was on the line.
What a good guy, though. Really good man.
Yeah, it was fun. It was good timing that you were there when he came in, too. Yes. He is a good guy. That was fun when he was there. Kevin from Ottawa is on the line. What do you have there, Kevin? What's new?
Not much. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
I've got a promotional item. We used to run a bar. It's a Rusty Wallace Miller Lite race car. It's about 7 feet long, 3 feet wide, a little over 3 feet tall, and the top comes off, and it's a cooler, and then it's got a drain plug on the back where the exhaust pipe would be, and it's built on like a little steel rack. We got it probably 10 or 12 years ago, and I've tried to see if I could find it online, and I've never been able to find another one.
So it was a Miller Lite promo that they probably made for bars, maybe? That's the only place that those would have been? Does that sound right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, they our beer distributor at the time brought it in, and we had it on display for a couple years, and then we just kind of put it in storage and just trying to see if there's any value to it.
Now, have you ridden it on the golf course or anything?
That'd be pretty cool, but no, it doesn't move.
How cool would that be if you're on the golf course and you have a cooler that drives you to your shots? I mean, it does double duty. That would be neat. Maybe
that would be.
See, I'm like Ralph Cramden. I'm always coming up with money making ideas. That's my next one. Coolers that are golf carts. Bill, now sometimes some things like that can be very valuable. I don't know about this particular one, but have you ever seen one that's like that? And if so, you want to give an estimate of value on that?
Well, I think that the only thing that may be the tougher thing, the selling point of that item, may be the size of it. I mean, what do you do with it?
Yeah, right. That is
a lot
pretty
of times
good.
We've had bigger items in our auction, like flags that have flown over stadiums of the team's names and stuff, but they have a very limited audience because what the hell am I going to do with this thing?
Turn it into a golf cart. You know what to do.
Right?
Yeah, it might be something, actually, if you another bar might want it right now. You know, you don't have the bar anymore, I take it, Kevin.
No, we closed up a couple months ago, and we're just kind of emptying it out now. So.
Oh, yeah. Bill, that would be too big of an item, don't you think, for one of your auctions?
Well, I mean, shipping, you know, gosh, you'd have to put it on a flatbed truck and ship it or something.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you'd have to do some sort of a thing where people would have to come and pick it up or whatever. Yeah,
sounds like a fun piece, you know. It might just be a party thing. You just bring it out when you have a party and fill it up with beer. And,
right. Yeah, that's
the
right.
The problem is just storing it somewhere, and that's, you know what, I keep looking at that. It's just so big.
Yeah. Have you called Rusty Wallace?
No, I have not.
Yeah, maybe Rusty would be in on that. Who knows? Well, thanks for the call. Next on the line, we have Jerry from McHenry. What's new, Jerry? What do you have?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Great.
I've got Michael. What do I have? I have LeBron James high school cards.
LeBron James. Signed cards?
No, there is high school cards.
Hmm. Yeah,
limited to 1,000 PSA Gem in 10.
PSA 10. Have you seen any of those on eBay? In the past, I've seen those, not recently, and they weren't a whole lot of money.
Who's the manufacturer on those?
Pardon me?
Does it say who manufactured those cards?
Oh, yes.
Upper Deck or?
Upper Deck. It's a PSA, but...
Yeah, well, you know what? I would just check on high school LeBron and PSA. If we find something that's a PSA 10, we'll report it and say what they're going for. I don't think they go for a ton. Bill, does that sound right to you, too, that the LeBron high school cards not signed don't do a ton?
Yeah, I've seen those before. They came out shortly after he came into the NBA, and just pictures of him. I think he is part of a... It may be an 8 to 10 or a 12 card set or something that they did.
Yeah.
But you're right. I don't know what a 10 would get, but I know the sets, they were kind of popular when they first came out. And then once he started having cards in an NBA uniform, the high school and college stuff, it has a tendency just to not really hold its value, and even in all the sports.
Yeah, now they've got a lot of the high school pictures of LeBron in Upper Deck products and... So, yeah, there's a lot of that stuff. I don't think it's really that good. Okay, time for one more quick one here before the break. You know what? Actually, this might be a little bit of a longer answer. We better wait till after the break. The number here is 312-332-3776. We're on till 9, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. We're giving away a 2016 Panini Unparalleled Football Box. So hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're on till 9, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. It looks like there's some clouds downtown Chicago for the air show today, but I don't know. I think it's going to be clear, don't you think, Vince?
Yeah, just as you say that, the sun is kind of peeking out above that building I see. So
it is.
You never know with Chicago weather.
You really don't. No. I mean, it was definitely sunny in the suburbs driving in. I better X out of things now. It looks like the sun's starting to come out while but hopefully people heading down today. I was kind of hoping there might be a couple of jets flying over that we'd be able to see from here. But so far, you know, that doing some practice runs, I think it starts at 10.
Cool.
So have fun today, people at the air show. All right. We got a lot of people waiting on the phone. So let's just get right to the calls here. Let's see. We've got Jarvis from the North Side on the line. What do you have there, Jarvis?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
I just had a question. So I don't really have a particular item, but, you know, me and my girl got engaged and, you know, we're going to have kids and stuff coming up here soon. And, you know, I want to start, you know, getting some things to kind of capture their imagination, you know what I'm saying, when I have some kids. So I was just trying to get an idea of where I should maybe look or kind of just where to start a collection, because it's tough because guys don't really stay on one particular team for very long. So,
well, I would start, if you have a favorite team, like by far the number one team that you like, I would start collecting that team, whether it's cards or memorabilia or whatever you like, and then go back into the history of that team too, get some of the Hall of Famers, whatever. So let's say, for instance, what is your favorite team?
I mean, I'm an all sports guy. I love the Bulls, Bears, Sox, Cubs, everybody, man.
Yeah. Well, very cool. So you can go back, get some of the hot guys, get Chris Bryant, get Ernie Banks, get Hack Wilson if you're a Cubs guy. If you like the White Sox, you know, But get what you can afford. Make sure that you study the market prices and that you're getting a reasonable price for the condition and the numbering of what you're buying. And then just get stuff that you like from the teams that you like and what you can afford and keep collecting it. And by the time your kids are older, they might have a valuable collection. That seems to be the way people build up valuable collections. They're doing it because they like it, and it turns out to be valuable.
And just as important, have fun.
Yes,
keep
that's
it
right.
Fun, you know?
Yeah, and don't go overboard early on where you get yourself in trouble spending too much early. You know, just keep it in the budget, plan what you're going to buy, and have fun with it, and it should work out really good. Speaking of having fun... Well, we do here every
look
week.
Your face, that right there is fun.
Well, our show's on 8 till 9 every Sunday morning, but starting September 11th, we move back to 7 to 8 because Jeff Miller's fantasy football show will be on 8 to 9 at that point. So mark your calendars. When the football season starts, we move back to 7 to 8. Fantasy football show comes on 8 to 9 in this spot, and I'm debating where to take who in the fantasy draft this Sunday. We'll talk about running backs if we get through some of these calls and have time afterwards. Because I'm wondering about Le'Veon Bell in the first round.
Right.
I guess that's where he's going in the first round, and I don't know. I just can't see it. And let's see now. We've got Mike from Maywood on the line. What do you have there, Mike?
How you guys doing?
Good. What's up?
I'm calling to see... is this anywhere where I can get a list or a book of the valuable of cards? Because like I told your guy to take calls, I work in waste management.
Okay.
And I found these huge boxes, about four or five big boxes. One of them was Major League Baseball cards. Well, whoever had them put them in a laminate like a photo album, but you can see both sides.
Yeah.
And he took a lot of time put this in, and he had all the teams together. Because I know I saw Jackie Robinson, Yogi Berra. I mean,
does it look like they're from the day that like from the 50s type cards, or does it look like it's from the 90s?
Old cards, or some are old and some are new.
Yeah, I see.
It's a lot of them. So,
yeah.
And I know I heard you on a down before with Mike, so I couldn't think of where your shop at until I just heard it just being in Naperville. I'm like, oh, that's the shop. So
yeah, okay.
Yeah, so I wanted to know what can I get can I find a list of baseball cards that's valuable.
Well, there's a magazine called Beckett Baseball that gives you an idea on pricing. I mean, it's not the most accurate thing in the world, but it'll give you an idea if you have cards that are penny cards or $100 cards or potentially. And then when you look at the prices in the price guide, the condition of the cards that you have is what the actual value is. So a card might book at $100, but if it's all creased up, it might only be $5, for instance.
Because all these cards are straight. They, like I said, whoever had them took time and put them in folders, everything. And not only Major League, it was hit football cards, basketball cards.
Okay.
You know. So.
Well, yeah, I would try to, you could even go to a library and see if they have the annual Beckett price guides there for each sport and look it up that way. You look up the card number on the back, the last year of stats will give you an idea on the card, and you can kind of go from there. And if you have some that you think are valuable and you want to bring them in and have me look at them, then I wouldn't look through the whole thing. But if you wanted to bring in a few and I can give you an idea.
Too much to look through. It's too much.
Yeah, so if you bring in a few, I'll tell you, well, those really are valuable, or no, even those aren't valuable, and then you'll have an idea if you have anything or not, just from that. Next on the line, let's see, who's been waiting the longest here? It's a battle. It looks like Ray from Mantino's been waiting. What's up, Ray? What do you have?
Hey, I've got my walls are littered with a lot of signed people. My most favorite, I'm the hugest Bulls fan, is the Dennis Rodman going parallel out of bounds after.
Oh, yeah, that's a good shot.
Signed, and it's also signed HOF 2011. Any value on that?
there is some value. Now, Rodman's been signing a ton lately. I think he might have, was he having some financial problems? Anyway, he's been signing a ton. He's in a lot of the Leaf products. And his stuff doesn't sell for a fortune. He is a Hall of Famer, so there will always be demand for it. And that particular photo, probably in the $50 range, I would think. I just sold I traded a basketball. It wasn't an official basketball, which makes a difference, but it was only $55. So his stuff is good, will always be collectible. You know, I think I went to a preseason Bulls game the first year they signed Rodman, and he dove out of bounds like that in a preseason game.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure this was the first year they got him. I was like, whoa, he really does hustle, didn't he? I never could get, even as much as he helped the Bulls win, I hated him so much when he was with the Pistons. Yep. I could never get that
it's
much.
It's hard to like somebody you hated for so long.
That whole Pistons team, the way they hammered the Bulls, you know, like physically, him and did a lot of dirty stuff. Yep. I couldn't get that close to Rodman.
But he fit into the Bulls very well.
Oh,
so Pippen and Jordan, you know, kept him under control and they worked together.
Oh, his defense was fantastic. His defense and rebounding was perfect. When they lost Horace Grant, they get Rodman, and his defense was actually better than Horace Grant, and Horace was really good. Derek from Chicago's on the line. What do you have there, Derek?
Hi. I have a series of books by Rogers Hornsby that he actually wrote called like how to hit and pitch and how to hit and play first base and every single base, all of which are signed by Rogers Hornsby.
How many total books?
I think it's 9.
Okay. Well, I would think, what would you think, Bill? Maybe 200 to 400 a book, something like that for a signed Hornsby, or are those particular books something that you know of that's a more valuable thing?
I think those could be $500 to $1,000 a piece, if not more, on a couple of them. Depends on how the signature looks, how bold it is, and you know, kind of where it's signed and everything. But those have significant value. I mean, the books themselves are even unsigned are very, very collectible.
Wow! So that's so.
Now, are you sure that these are signed by him, or is it a facsimile signature?
No. They're definitely signed. My great-grandfather actually owned the popcorn wagon that went in between Chicago and St. Louis. And
wow, really?
My grandfather actually, he was little at the time, but he actually has a picture of him standing with Rogers Hornsby. It was in the newspaper and everything else.
Wow, that's very cool. So, Bill, obviously that would be something that you would take in a Huggins and Scott auction. Now, if he sent those in and they're really signed, would you sell them as a lot or would you break them individually? How do you think you'd do that, Bill?
I think I'd sell them individually because they're going to, you know, if somebody wants the whole lot of them, they can bid on every single one of them.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people would be happy to have one of them, especially if they were a first baseman or a pitcher or a catcher. I think that's the theory. He's right. There are 9 of them and it's all the different positions.
Wow, so you have the whole thing. That's pretty awesome. That would be a nice to see how they did in an auction. So if you are interested, you could bring them into Triple Crown in Naperville, and then I'd get to see them and take pictures and tweet them.
And hopefully I'll be there when it comes in.
Yeah, we'll tell Vince when you're coming.
Nice.
Okay, thanks, Derek.
All right, thanks, guys.
Yeah, very cool. Wow, boy, that's something.
Sweet.
All 9 of them, and he
that
did
could be
9.
Huge.
That's
that,
a neat
that could
set.
Be huge. Yep.
Yeah, that's really pretty cool. Mark from, is it Cedar Lake, Mark?
Yes. Hi, how are you guys doing?
Good. What's up? What do you have?
I have 3 helmets from the Dallas Cowboys when they won their Super Bowls in the 90s, all signed by all the teams, including Jerry Jones.
Okay, so they're all team-signed Cowboys helmets from Super Bowl-winning teams.
Correct. The 92, 93, and 95 teams, and they're signed by Jerry Jones and Jimmy Johnson as well.
Wow, that's cool. Bill, does it ring a bell that you've had even one Cowboys team-signed helmet from one of their Super Bowl years from the 90s?
Yeah, I want to say we have had one of those. It really is going to depend on how complete it is, you know. But as long as you've got the nucleus of it with, you know, Aikman, Irvin, Nemeth, all that, you're looking at, $1,000 to $2,000.
Per helmet.
Per helmet, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's very cool, Mark. Now, how did you know somebody that you were able to get these each year, or how did you come across them?
I have a friend who works for the Cowboys that helps me out. I've been a Cowboys fan all my life, so having a friend and having that connection actually helps.
Yeah, that does he still work for him?
Yes.
And are his initials JJ, Jerry Jones?
Yeah, it would be nice. Yeah, no, unfortunately not.
Well, that's pretty cool, though. So Bill would take those in a Huggins and Scott auction if you ever want to send them in.
I'll definitely consider that.
All right, very good. You have any other Cowboys stuff?
I've got many helmets that are signed by, like, Jay Novacek, Troy Aikman, Mike Lurbin. Emmitt Smith, I've got some banners. I've got lithographs that are signed.
Huh. Do you have any game-worn stuff from any of the players, like game-worn helmets or jerseys?
I do have a game-worn jersey from Emmitt Smith. It's not signed.
Whoa.
But I do have a game-worn jersey.
What year is that from?
91, I believe.
Oh, wow. Jeez. Bill, Emmitt game-worn jersey. That's like the king of the castle of this collection.
Holy Grail.
Yeah, right. That's thousands. What do you think, Bill?
Oh, many thousands, yes.
Yeah.
Especially if you can, it just needs to kind of get authenticated that all the tags and all the proper size is there and everything. But that's a home run.
Yeah, that's a biggie. Boy, I'd love to just get that into the Huggins and Scott auction just to see what it goes for. If you're starting with something that you're going to sell, that would be a good one to start with, Mark.
Yeah, you know, I think I'm going to keep that. I was a huge Emmitt Smith fan.
Yeah.
I was crushed into the Cardinals. But, you know, and I just loved watching him run. It was just unbelievable to watch him run, especially early in his career.
Yeah, he seemed like a pretty good guy, too, actually. The way
put Walter Payton behind that offensive line.
Oh, yeah.
And,
wow. Yeah. You know, he was actually, it sounds like he was a really good to Walter's son, Jarrett, after Walter died and everything. So, yeah, that there was a good connection there, and it's made Emmitt seem like a really good guy, which whenever you hear stuff like that, it makes you want to collect the guy's stuff more, for sure.
High character guy,
yeah,
for sure.
Very neat. Well, we've got time here now, so we want to talk a little bit about the fantasy football draft here. All right, it's next Sunday night.
Yes.
All right, I don't know, in the draft that we're in, we're going to have, you can keep somebody. I'm not keeping anybody.
Do you know
so
who you're keeping?
I'm not keeping anybody.
Oh, you're just throwing everybody back.
Are you keeping somebody?
Antonio Brown, yes.
Oh, yeah. I can't believe you didn't make the playoffs last year.
Yes.
Your team with the points that you scored.
Yep.
But to me, like we were talking, okay, if Le'Veon Bell in the first round, how do you do that? Unless you got to get D'Angelo Williams. Now, this shows that the average draft pick position for Le'Veon Bell is eighth in the first round, and D'Angelo Williams is going 118th. Now, you don't want to get D'Angelo Williams too soon, but
you got to ensure that you get him.
Yeah, so I don't want to wait
earlier.
If I'm getting Le'Veon Bell, I got to take D'Angelo Williams earlier.
Yeah. Too much of a headache to invest in a draft to get Bell. Make sure you get Williams at the right time before somebody else takes him. I don't even want to deal with it.
Well, I kept Le'Veon Bell last year, and I think he missed the first two games last year. So I did get D'Angelo Williams, and he was
which was a great pickup by you.
Yeah, I don't remember what round I got him.
Late.
I think
it
maybe seventh
late.
Or eighth, something like that. So anyway, I'm probably overthinking this too much because I don't even really want to draft Le'Veon Bell. I'd rather draft somebody else.
But it seems all the contests you're in, you're always competitive right up there near the top. So whether you're overthinking or not, keep doing what you're doing because you're successful. You know?
I like to think about it, yeah. Like I'm thinking, should I pick? Nah.
Nah.
Right. So anyway, the fantasy draft. So, but the reason we're talking about this because starting September 11th, our show, which has been on from 8 to 9 Central Time, will move to 7 to 8 Central Time. And then Jeff Miller's Fantasy Football Show will be on 8 to 9. And if it's like in the past years, then when I'm driving home from here, I'll listen to Jeff Meller's Fantasy Football Show. There's Jeff Meller just singing in the background. And then I'll make all the changes that's in my lineup. See, that's probably part of the reason why I am doing well in fantasy. Yep. I listen to his show.
Good resources at ESPN.
All right, so time to do the drawing here,
this
Vince.
This week's winner is going to be Chris from Hoffman Estates. So, Chris, email me your address, vince@ercdelivery.com. I'll deliver it to your home or work free of charge.
And you have to contact him by Thursday or else that's the deadline. Yes, it has to Thursday. Be by that time. Now, don't forget to check HugginsandScott.com. Things coming in already for the Huggins and Scott August auction. I've been sending a few things in, Bill, some neat stuff. Can't wait to see them in the Huggins and Scott October auction.
We're probably going to switch the site over either next week or somewhere shortly after that.
Oh, that's soon where things will start showing up that are in there. Great. And then don't forget to check out tcrowntom.com. I'm at Triple Crown in Naperville 6 days a week. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great week.